Mondays with Haunting Gurus.
Yo, I'm hanging with the dynamic dude and master of illusions of haunted Fresno in Fresno, California. It's Dexter Morgan. Dexter, what's up, brother?
Yeah, don't say Fresno like it's exciting, okay? We don't want to give anybody any false hopes.
Roughly in the whole grand scheme of California, where is Fresno located?
Right in the armpit.
Right in the armpit of California.
At least that's how it smells. Now, we're dead center in the middle of the state. We're right in the middle. If you draw a line straight up from Los Angeles and draw a line straight east from San Francisco where the two intersect, you're going to find Fresno.
What, you've been running that for 7 years now? Is that the deal?
That's correct. This is our seventh year.
Are you, like, part owner, or do you manage the place?
I mean, well, I do both. I'm part owner. I have my own attraction there called the Seance. But I also help design, do the construction. I do all the marketing. I do the website. I do all of the graphic material. So pretty much just about everything with the exception of, you know, staffing the place. We've got a manager that takes care of the auditions, you know, auditioning process, although I'm involved in it, but she takes care of all of that stuff. She takes care of the actors, and we have a makeup department, but everything else I'm pretty much in charge of.
How'd you come up through the business? How'd you
the way that happened, I was finishing up. How do I put it? I know you can edit this, so I'll come at that a different way.
I can, but don't make my job difficult.
I'll try not to. I was just finishing up working on the Chris Angel Mind Freak series, which I had done for about 2.5 years. And I came back into Fresno from Vegas and received a phone call from a friend of mine who is one of the head guys over at Hobbs Grove, which is now called The Grove. And he called me up and just said, hey, we were sitting around here brainstorming, and we thought of you and wondered if you know, could do a seance out here. And I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and said, sure, why not? So went out and talked with them, and they built me a room in about 4 days. And I had a week to put a seance together and had never really done one before as far as on a haunted house, you know, type scale, which is a completely different animal than any sort of a theatrical or magic seance. And the next thing I knew, I was doing seances every single night through the month of October. And it pretty much snowballed from there. So this will be my eighth year of doing seances.
Give me an example of what goes down in the seance.
Oh, we bring 28 people into the room, and you sit down at the table, and we talk about who we're going to try to contact and why, some of the things that might be happening, and of course some of the things that we have in the room, you know, specialized ghost cameras that are supposed to take images of, you know, of the spirits and other ways of telling whether a spirit's present. We turn the lights out and pretty much all hell breaks loose. I mean, the tables start jumping around, people feel things touch them, there's a bell hanging on the wall that rings on its own, clock starts chiming on its own, just all sorts of stuff starts happening. A lot of spontaneous things do happen in the room, things that are not necessarily planned per se by me, but last year there was a young man there that ended up actually coming out with a giant bite mark on the back of his hand, and I'm pretty sure it was the young lady that was sitting next to him that did it, but he was so freaked out that he left crying, and this kid was about 16 years old.
So when we talk about seances, this is not this is the real deal. This is not you doing some staged bit, or is this more of a show?
Well, let me just start off by saying, and if this upsets any of the listeners out there that really believe in seances, my apologies in advance. But all seances have been a theatrical performance.
Well, I mean, that's what I thought. I just didn't, you know, I didn't want to get the wrong idea when we were talking about this and thinking, like, if I talk and I'm like, that's a bunch of BS later or whatever.
Of course it is.
I know, it's a show. That's what people go there for.
That's all it is.
People go there, they want you to tell them what they want to hear, right, kind of thing, and you just give them what they want.
A seance is a magic show performed in the dark. That's pretty much what it is. Now, even though I have disclaimers all over the front of my attraction that say that it's just for entertainment, that it's not tied to the occult, and et cetera, I still have people after the seance is over, when I'm escorting everybody out, come up to me and ask if they can contract me to and pay me to get in touch with their relatives.
Did you read the sign? Did you read the back of the stub? Because I think we cleared that all up in the back of the stub. I don't know, but you know, if you want to pay me money, I can come over and hang out with you for a while. And
yeah, I mean, if I didn't have the morals that I had, I would definitely take the easy road and take their money from them.
I'm telling you, that's got to be a hard thing to like not take their money, because you're like, well, if you're stupid enough to come up and ask me that, then I should just take your money. But, you know, like, you have the, you know, it's good that you have the moral decency to do. You know.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if they want to contact a relative, they've got some deep set issues that they need to work out, and I'm not going to mess with that. You know, that's not something that I'm going to come in and toy with that and you know, and go to an area that, you know, could technically psychologically damage them. So I'm not going to do it.
Talk about the different attractions outside of your amazing, mind-blowing seances.
We've got two traditional haunted houses. We have the Fortress of Fear, which is kind of the Castle von Helsing, you know, Dracula, Frankenstein, you know, the Mummy, that kind of stuff. Then we have, that leads into the House of Zombies, which is which actually you have to go through a house from the front door all the way through the house and have to try to make it out the back alive. And the house is quarantined. It's, you know, it's in a zombie quarantine. So it's completely overrun with zombies, and you've got to make it from the entrance to the house to the exit. And we've actually done something with that I haven't seen pretty much anybody do at this point. And that is, when you walk in, you meet one of the living relatives, one of the only living members of the family that's still not a zombie in the house, per se. And she immediately tells you, you know, of course, you're not supposed to be here. How'd you get through the quarantine? If you want to stay alive, the only way to do so is stay out of the rooms, stay in between the walls. And she opens up the coat closet and pulls all the coats aside from the rack, on the hanger rack, and there's a giant hole in the wall that you have to step through, and you go into this area that is all lath and plaster, and it looks like you're in between the walls of the house.
I was thinking about this concept the other day, and as I was pondering the haunt industry in my spare time. I was sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, you need to be different. You need to come up with something new and innovative, something really cutting edge. And somebody's going to steal this idea from me right now as I'm giving it out there. But I was thinking about how could you make it as movie-like real as possible, as if you were in a movie. Not just saying that you're in a movie, but making it as real as possible, or simulating the experience of being an actor in that movie. You know, that I think that is the next level.
What if I told you it's been done, Chris?
And you did it! You son of a bitch!
Negative. I wish I could take credit for it, but I haven't. As a matter of fact, I went to see this haunted house last year. A friend of mine was working on it, and it's the Blumhouse. I don't know if you've heard of it or not.
I have not.
It was in Los Angeles, Blum House of Horrors, put on by Jason Blum, which is the guy who did all the Paranormal Activity movies. So, as a matter of fact, the new movie, The Purge, is a Blum House production, same company. So it was put on, the entire haunt was built and put on by someone in the movie industry. And I kid you not, of course, this is in downtown LA, right next to the Staples Center. So I think every actor in that haunted house probably had a SAG card. It was phenomenal. I honestly felt, even though even myself, my wife, and the other people that were in our party, we actually felt like we were right in the middle of a movie that was unfolding, and that we weren't supposed to be there. I mean, the actors made us feel like, hey, wait a minute, what are these people doing here? They're not supposed to be here right now. And it was so convincing, it was unreal. Now, having said that, it was not scary. They missed that part. They missed the part of being scary. It went so Hollywood and so into the storyline and in depth, and the acting was so great that they missed the whole part about being scary.
So I can still get my patent as long as I make it scary too. You
know? Well, again, they were in movie mode. They were thinking about it as if they were doing a movie. So they even went to the nth degree to do set design. There was my friend who was working on it took us on a backstage tour. And as he was taking us through, because it was done in a theater, as he was taking us through the dressing rooms, he pointed out a brush, a hairbrush, that was laying on the table where the main character was supposed to, you know, that was their makeup table. And they spent $350 on a period correct brush. Now, you tell me how many people going through a haunted house are going to notice that brush.
That's where, though, that one detail. If they saw that, if one person said, wait a minute, that's not an 1895 brush, that's a 1901 brush, you guys are full of shit right now. No.
But yeah, I mean, it was really amazing. The scenery was incredible, and they did things that, you know, normal haunt industry people wouldn't think of. Like, the whole thing was done in a theater. And at one point in time, they bring you up this little staircase, and it's completely pitch black. You can hardly see a thing. And all of a sudden, you're bombarded with all these lights, and you're standing dead center in the middle of a stage. And the lights are so bright, you can't see anything past the edge of the stage, and you hear hundreds of people clapping. So they play off a stage fright. You're on the stage, and it seems like the theater is just packed full of people.
Roughly, what do you charge to per ticket? For the six on
our big combo ticket is $26 for all six attractions.
All six.
And there's guys that cut a path in a corn maze and throw in a couple of those inflatable claustrophobia mats and a couple of guys in masks, and they've got, you know, two corn mazes, and they want $30 or $40 for the VIP front of the line pass.
So give me just a quick overview. Well, you don't have to be quick. Whatever. Felt like I don't have plenty of time to burn. But, gotcha. You know, give us some flavor of what Haunted Fresno is all about.
Sure. After the House of Zombies, we have the Museum of Oddities, which is actually in the lobby just before my attraction. It's free with the combo ticket. And that's... It's a walk-through attraction. You go through at your own pace. It's the two-headed babies, the chupacabra skeletons, the half-boy, half-octopus. You know, pretty much all the oddity stuff, all the sideshow-type oddity stuff. Then we have the last ride, and I'm sure you're familiar with the attraction, the last ride, the coffin simulator.
Yeah, the coffin, yeah, you lie in, and it takes you through the whole process of being buried.
Those are great. We've got two of those, so we run those simultaneously, two at a time. And then, of course, we have a brand new attraction as of last year's first time we brought it out. We have the Hellevator. Now, it's not the Hellevator how most people know, the airbags or anything like that. This is an actually fully programmed motion simulator ride on air rams. The whole thing is beautiful. It simulates getting on an elevator, 10 people at a time, and it goes down a couple of floors, has a mechanical failure. You start smelling the burning electrical, you start smelling hydraulic fluid, and then, of course, the cable snaps and the thing free falls down. So, you know, completely brand new thing and completely unique to our attraction. We had it custom made, custom programmed, and to my knowledge, it's the first Hellevator that's been done with the scent additives put in it.
Like, what do you think separates Haunted Fresno from the other five haunts that popped up last year in your town, all the other haunts within like a several mile area? Like, why should people make their trek to Haunted Fresno?
Well, that's actually really easy to answer. The majority of the haunted houses in Fresno, or at least the surrounding areas, all share one thing in common, with maybe one exception. I'm not going to name any of them because I'm not that type of person, but with the exception of maybe one of those other five haunted houses, nobody really cares about detail, theming, or storyline. When you come to our haunted house, it's like walking through a movie set. Now, of course, it's not a Disney movie set. You know, don't get me wrong. Well, you know, we do have somewhat of a budget we have to stay within, but still.
Hey, you know what? Disney's for Disneyland. You know
exactly. But we will detail
Disney World,
to the
Disney World. You know, I mean, let's not split hairs.
Yeah. Either way, but still, we will detail to the nth degree, and for two reasons. Number one, because we want to. We want it to be that cool and that detailed. But number two, we're one of the only haunted attractions in the Central Valley that the fire marshal has come in and adamantly put his foot down and said, you are not allowed to use smoke or fog machines. So we can't hide anything with fog, which we see a lot of other haunted houses do. They hide the lack of detail with fog machines. We don't have fog machines. We're not allowed to have fog machines, and everything has to be very well lit for the fire marshal and for ADA and for all these other reasons. We have to be well lit, and we're not allowed to have smoke. If we do have smoke, we have what they call smoke beam detectors, and if one little puff of smoke crosses that detector, which sits 8 inches above our panel walls, one piece goes above, one little whiff of smoke goes above it, and it sets off all of our alarms, all of the emergency lighting comes on, the power gets killed, and we're done. We're off. So we can't hide anything.
Dude, what a buzzkill.
Oh, totally. It's a bummer. But at the same point in time, it almost forced us to go that extra mile and theme the living hell out of everything. So we light everything. We're probably one of the most well-lit haunted houses you're ever going to go to. Because if we're going to go that extra mile and detail it, we're not going to dim light it so you can't see it. We're going to showcase it. So when you walk through, it is literally very similar to walking through a movie set because we theme the living hell out of everything.
Dexter, give me all of the details. Where can people like your Facebook page and, you know, tweet you on Twitter and, you know, email you and praise you with, you know, how amazing your interview it was with me on Hauntcast and all that stuff.
That is completely not necessary. However, they can get a hold of us. All you got to do is, if you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, all you have to do is search Haunted Fresno. It'll pop up. We're pretty much the only Haunted Fresno on there. I don't think you're going to have to wade through two or three options. They're pretty much only one. Of course, our webpage is hauntedfresno.com. And if they want to get a hold of me, you can email at dexter@hauntedfresno.com.
Sweet. Dexter.
Sir.
Thank you for your time.
Always a pleasure, Chris. I think you do a great show, so it's a pleasure to be on here.
Thanks, man.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunted Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.